Welcome to Gardening Talkback on 2NURFM. Greg Richard, joined by Judy Sharp. Judy Sharp, great to see you once again.
See you, Greg.
Now, we didn't get to all our topics last week.
No,
inundated.
No, we did get inundated, and we've still got quite a few to go through today.
Right, so we're talking about frangipanis, was that right? Or
yeah, frangipanis, camellias. We're going to talk about tropical trees, summer annuals, and what about natives?
Judy, you want to look at camellias as well today? You've been trying to talk about this for the last few weeks, but just managed to get there.
Yeah, we managed to get there today. That's good, isn't it? Because camellias are now, they're finished flowering, so they need a little bit of preparation ready for the next season. So I'm going to suggest to the listeners today that they start to mulch their ground-growing ones with peat moss and fertiliser. And the fertiliser would be a little bit of cow manure.
Right.
They love it. And peat moss is good because it's acidic and they also love that. And let's talk about the ones in the pots. Of course, we're not going to give them cow manure, are we?
No, because that will burn it?
Of course, yep. So we're going to use peat moss and we're going to use a slow-release fertiliser.
Right, okay.
So that takes care of the camellias, but of course, oh, windy day today, Greg, so they're going to need watering.
Exactly, and probably can you try and get them out of the wind as well if you can, or?
Well, the ones in the pots you could.
Yep.
But, you know, camellias are traditionally, the japonicas have just finished flowering, and they're generally planted in the semi-shade, whereas the sasanquas, they flower earlier, they've completely finished, but they're tougher.
Right, yeah, yep.
Tougher.
And we've got Elizabeth from Cole Point, and she's got a question about citrus.
Oh, hello, Elizabeth. Citrus problems or...?
Hi, Judy. It's lovely to talk to you. We've grown some Seville orange trees from seed.
Right.
And we've had them, they're about 12 years old now. We successfully got six to grow. We have five up here in pots. And we moved one down to my daughter's about 3 years ago and she put it in the ground. Now, hers has never flowered or fruited, but the five I have up here have done both. So we were just wondering if there's something we might be able to do to encourage hers to flower and fruit.
Right. OK, Elizabeth. Now, that's an easy one to solve. So hers is still in the pot?
No, she's had it in the ground now for probably about 3 years with other citrus trees she has,
right,
like lemons and limes, and they're fine. They fruit and are happy. But this one, though it's growing, it just hasn't flowered.
Right,
so
okay.
It hasn't fruited.
Yeah, well, if she's already growing citrus, she knows all the game plan, doesn't she? So is this citrus in the sun?
Yes, it does. It gets quite a bit of sun.
Right,
yes.
Okay. Now, she's probably used the poultry manure out to the drip line, and then she would have also fertilised with citrus out to the drip line. Is that her method of fertilising, do you think?
I'm not sure. Probably yes, because I know she uses the poultry manure out on the roses out the front. So I would imagine, but I can check with her about that, but she definitely does use the citrus fertiliser.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, I think Sudden Impact for roses is a wonderful product that the citrus do enjoy, but
right,
maybe if she's already fertilised, which she might have by now, but that wouldn't hurt to give them a little bit of Sudden Impact. But the other
right
thing is, you know, it might be time to give it sulphate of potash.
Oh, some potash.
Yeah, some potash, definitely some potash.
Right.
And if that doesn't stimulate the flowers and the fruiting, you know, I don't have an easy answer for that one because, you know, most citrus that you buy are grafted.
Yes.
And, you know, of course, that kicks them straight into fruiting. So yours have done it, so I'm not too sure, Elizabeth, but let's hit with the sulphate of potash and maybe even some Sudden Impact and keep in touch with us and let us know what happened because it's a bit of a mystery one.
It is a bit of a mystery. Do you know how long how long they can take to fruit?
Oh, look, yeah, if they're not grafted, yeah, look, probably 8 to 10 years, probably.
Okay. So yeah. It's possibly still just the beginning of where it might start.
Yeah, but yours are fruiting, so I'm not sure.
Yes, I've got
about
a lovely
that.
Crop this year.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah. Maybe it's just change of atmosphere. Let's give it a go and see, you know, what happens after that.
Yeah, I did wonder if sending it down, like it, they were mostly growing up here, how much of a difference it would make moving it from our climate down to, like, she's in the lower Blue Mountains.
Oh, okay. So, oh, right, okay. Yeah. No, look, citrus don't mind the cold.
Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, that move might have been a transition, so let's just keep our fingers crossed for the next year after she does everything we're suggesting. You know, the soil could be so different down there, Elizabeth.
Yes, that's true.
You know,
true.
The soil pH would be interesting to test yours and test hers.
So what pH does citrus like?
Oh, look, they like a pretty neutral one.
Neutral?
Yeah, okay. A little bit alkaline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be better if it's a bit alkaline.
Okay. All right, I'll let her know.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
We've got Linda now from Miller's Forest, and she's looking for some flowering shrub suggestions.
Oh.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, Linda. So spring is coming, is it, or is it sprung?
Oh, it's sprung.
As today.
So, look, I've got a yard with a northwesterly aspect.
Right.
And in summer, it is hot. And a lot of plants that, you know, the label says they like sun, they don't like the heat of that yard.
Right, okay,
so
yep.
I was wanting to plant some shrubs along the fence line, and I was thinking of putting in a row of hibiscus.
Oh, right, okay, yep, yep.
I Googled them, and it seemed to imply that they don't like intense heat either.
Oh, what about when they grow up in the tropics?
Well, that's what I thought.
Yeah, no, they'd be fine. Look, people use them up near the salt, you know, near the beach, because they just are so hardy.
Yeah.
Look, the only other way, Linda, you could go, it just, you know, while we've been chatting, it's floated through my mind, everywhere the natives are out in flower, the grevilleas. Now, they give you a beautiful show, particularly here at the university. I noticed when I came in today, there are misty pinks in flower and the cream ones in flower, and they're all fairly tall-growing shrubs. And they will do it quickly for you.
All right, that sounds good, and they'd be fine with the intense heat.
Oh, definitely. And also, too, they aren't prone. You know, hibiscus are a bit prone to snails.
Funnily enough, I never see a snail.
You don't see one at all.
No, there's a lot of skinks around here, and I suspect that they're clearing them out.
They could be, which is good. But there is a treatment for them, but there's a particular spray you use on hibiscus to get rid of snails. But they're very small and they hide under the leaf. So, you know, maybe the natives might be a better bet.
All right, that's a great suggestion. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Linda. Give us a buzz. I love those grevilleas. They're so good for picking in the house.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay. Thanks, Linda.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Can't believe that she doesn't have a snail.
Oh,
that's borderline amazing.
Yes, but I think one of our other listeners said the skinks get them.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm off to invest in some.
Oh, particularly when you plant out the chilies.
Yeah, well, they don't really get the chilies, I don't think, but everyone's got snails in their backyard, surely.
I don't think I have.
Oh, righto. Okay. Maybe,
no, I'm pretty sure I don't
have.
Maybe
it's just our neighbourhood.
Maybe it is.
And we've got Stephen from Currycurry, and he's got a question about his garlic. Seems to have lost its flavour.
Oh, that's dangerous, Stephen, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not much fun. I love my garlic.
Now, Stephen, could I just ask you, what have you grown there previously?
Well, it's actually been in two different properties. We originally started growing it in Gulgong, believe it or not, about 30 years ago.
Oh, right.
Yep. It's always been the same garlic, and till about the last 4 years, it was beautiful, lovely. You know, you'd slice it up and chuck it in your lamb, and it's great. But the last, about 4 years, it has no flavour at all. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Okay, Stephen, are you planting in the same place each time?
At this current property for the last 9 years, yes.
Right, okay. Look, I'm suggesting that you need to change the crop in that area.
As in get new garlic or move it to another bed?
No, move it to another bed, and where you're planting there now, plant a different crop in that area. Oh. So you've been planting there in that soil for some time, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, well, see, they would use up, you know, all the nutrients they like to get the flavour. So let's move it to another spot and plant something else where you were growing the garlic.
Okay. What sort of fertiliser or what can you put in with your soil to help garlic?
Well, look, I think it's pretty tough stuff, isn't it? Maybe if you just use an all-purpose vegetable fertiliser, that'd be good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, nothing too specific, you know. I mean, if you've been growing it for that long, you know, you've had good results up till now. I think it's the soil situation, really. So let's give it a little bit of vegetable fertiliser and turn it over, you know, and leave it probably for a few days, going on a week, and then plant your garlic and let's know what happens.
I will do that.
Thank you.
I'll definitely do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen, for the call. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Stephen. We've got Simon now from Singleton. He's also got a question about citrus.
Oh, hello, Simon. Citrus problems.
Oh, I have a little bit, Judy. I'm a big fan. I've got a Tahitian lime, Washington navel, Eureka lemon and a Emperor mandarin. They're all grafted.
Right.
They're all flowering at the moment. I wondered if I should not fertilise too much while they flower.
Oh, probably not. Did you fertilise, sorry, about August? Well, August, yeah.
No, I missed the boat, but I've got a wealth of manure. I've got sheep, horse, chicken, cow, and a bit of bull also.
Look, you know I'm only going to suggest chicken manure, don't you?
Oh, righto. Yeah,
none of that bull, that's for sure. I'm talking straight up here, Simon.
I know there's no bull with you, Judy.
Yeah, no, let's give them chicken manure for starters. But I think I wouldn't panic too much about fertilising at the moment. You could, but what I'm thinking is let's this period of heat go.
Yeah.
I think we need to leave the heat go. You know, Greg probably knows more. He's been probably listening to the weather. Greg, are we losing the heat?
No, I think it's going to be hotter at the end of the week.
Oh, right. OK, Simon, well, that solves the problem. No gardening. You can just rest inside.
Sounds great. That's a good life for a farmer inside.
It is, isn't it? No wonder you've got all that bull and cow manure.
I'm full of it up here.
No, Simon, look, I think, you know, the weather will take a downturn. You know, it won't last this hot forever unless we're going to get a dreadful summer. So let's wait just a few weeks and then fertilise your citrus.
Okay, good on you. Thanks for your help, Judy.
You were quite welcome. But, Simon, don't forget you've always got to water out under the drip line and apply it and then water it in.
Oh, it's only this drip that waters it with the hose. I've got no drip at all.
Oh, you can ring again next week, Simon. We love a laugh every now and then.
Oh, yeah, no, it helps. It's good medicine.
Good medicine, that's for sure. Thanks, Simon.
Good on you. All the best. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Anne from North Rothbury, and she's got a question about the frangipani.
Oh, hello, Anne. How are you?
Well, thank you. How are you?
Very well. Is it windy up there today?
Oh, my God, it'll blow a dog off a chain. And I've got two dogs.
Well, I've left my little boy inside because I didn't want to get him blown off his chain today.
Well, mine are inside too.
Oh, we're good mothers, aren't we?
We are. Yeah. Now, I've got a really odd question.
Yep.
My frangipani, I took a cutting when I moved 2 years ago because I've been waiting for a build to happen. But I'm wondering, is there a way to make it grow arms? It's just up and down like a candlestick, and it's the crimson one, so I don't want to lose it.
No, so it hasn't shot out sideways, but how long ago was that?
About 2 years.
So it's actually been... Now, frangipanis can be funny little creatures. A lot of people will put them in a pot And when they actually, and they're all growing, and when they pull them out, they haven't got a lot of roots on them.
Right.
Now, they tend to be very slow, even though, you know, they can be pipe seekers, but they can be a bit slow to, you know, to grow new roots. So that's what I think's happening. Now, you can, you know, you can't even prune it because you're just going to chop its nose off the top.
That's right.
Look, I think the way we're going to go with this is a regular weekly application of Flourish for flowering.
Oh, okay. That's easy.
Yeah, very, very easy fertiliser to apply, and it will stimulate it, you know, probably kick it into gear and say, look, you know, this lady's out here waiting for that beautiful flower. Let's do it.
Excellent. That's what I needed. That's a very simple answer.
Does that sound good? Yeah. Okay. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Okay, Anne. But, you know, a phone call in a couple of months, I'd hate to be letting you down there. Don't ring me and say, you're bad, Jude, you're bad.
I would never say that about you.
Thank you, Anne. Talk to you again. Good luck
with it. Have a good day.
Bye.
We've got Alison now from New Lambton, and she's got some problems with a ringtail possum.
Oh, Alison, oh, it's a sad question, that one, isn't it?
It's very sad. They're very cute.
I know they are. What's it destroying?
Well, I've got two probably about six-year-old capital pears in my backyard.
Right, yeah.
And they've left them alone until late last year, and then suddenly they became the target of their affection. And they run along the fence and leap into the trees, and I lost a crab apple a number of years ago because of them. And I'm just worried that they're going to kill my trees. And they're 3 to 4 metres tall. They're beautiful.
Oh, how many how many pear trees have you got?
I've got two, and they're attacking both of them.
Oh, look, you know, I suppose it's
a lovely capital one there the other night.
It's going to be hard, isn't it, to cover them?
Yeah, we were thinking of sort of like trying to sort of obstruct their trip along the fence. But they're resourceful as well. So, you know, we've tried, you know, sprays and making up a chili and garlic spray and different things, but they seem to just keep coming back.
Okay, maybe we need to divert them.
Mm.
I wonder if, which I don't really like to suggest because, you know, then we could have other problems. But in your situation, what about if you cut up some fruit and left it in a bowl somewhere in the area but away from the trees and see if you can just divert their interest?
Actually, it's funny you say that because we did talk about that at the weekend and to maybe put some fruit in the front yard so that they head that way from their dry, not to the backyard, to the pears.
Yeah, look, that's probably a solution. I know that it's going to encourage them to come, but, you know, it's better they eat the fruit out of the bowl. Look, I have had over the years a few customers, not even too long ago, one lady did it regularly all the time. And I said, oh, but you'll be encouraging them into the garden. She said, no. She said, they just come and eat the fruit in the bowl.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm probably going to get a lot of anti-phone calls about that one, I'll tell you. But I think you should try that. It's a shame to lose an ornamental pear.
Oh, and they've been absolutely glorious trees, and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're giving us shade in summer.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they suddenly, you know, change their minds. You know, I don't, like, they eat a lot of other stuff and nibble around the garden, and I don't mind because, you know, that's just what they are. And
And they are beautiful. But, yeah, let's divert them. I'd really like you to try that, Alison, and give me a buzz for, particularly for other listeners' sake, you know, if that works for you, you know, it'd be interesting to see. But I think it will. So, you know, even if you use your peelings.
Mm.
Yeah. This lady used to use her peelings, her vegetable peelings and everything. And, you know, Greg's looking at me, raising his eyebrows. Did they get chilies? No, Greg, they didn't get chilies.
No, well, the dry, like, I can see one of their drays is in the a pine tree, like, out the front.
Yeah.
And often you see them pop out of there of an evening, and there's usually three come out of there.
Oh.
And they're quite, they'll let you come very close to them.
Yeah, okay. What about the bowl of fruit out there?
I think that's where they might get a little fruit in the serviette as well.
Oh, you're lovely, Alison. I think you're being so kind to them. But I would be too. I'd love to watch them and, have them in the garden. But unfortunately, where I live, we don't seem to get many things like that. Probably it's the traffic, I think, frightens them away.
So I'm very fortunate that they're around. And one year they didn't manage to annihilate my anemones, but we won't talk about that year.
No, I think we'll forget that one.
I don't plant them anymore. So,
a phone call back, if you wouldn't mind, just to let us know if that works for you.
Beautiful. Thanks for your help, Judy. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're quite welcome, Alison, and thank you very much for that interesting call.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
I remember a while back someone said they used sensor lights.
Oh, they did too.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was an army of them, was it?
No. I don't think it was a family vate, no.
No, I think it was, he had one on his fence, didn't he, and put sensor lights up there? Or did it put them in the garden? Gosh.
I don't remember. He might have put them around the tree or...
Yeah. Well, our memories aren't that
option?
Good.
I just remembered sensor lights, that was it.
let's go for that one.
Now, Jude, before you go, we've had a big list the last few weeks.
We have,
And we've only just put a tiny dent in the list as well.
We have. And, it's a time. We're changing seasons, so we do need to send out a little bit of information, Greg.
All right. So we're looking at tropical plants you want to talk about before?
Yeah, and that's quite a brief one. Tropical trees and shrubs, don't prune them until it's warmer.
Right.
Now, okay, if we'd have said that last week, everyone would have agreed. Mm-hmm. Now we're getting the warm weather, but... I think I'd still wait a couple of weeks for the tropicals to be pruned.
Right, I just maybe they wait to the end of the month or?
Yeah, well, halfway through the month, because you never know, it could, particularly in our frost-prone areas, they might still get the odd frost through.
Well, I think it's, 18, 19 tomorrow, so we're not completely getting high 20s at the moment.
No, we'll go backwards, I still had my blanket on last night.
Oh, yeah, I had a doona.
Yeah, it wasn't over warm.
Friday night was warmish, I thought.
It was, yeah. And then the cat decided to sleep on my feet and she was hot. But anyway, so we've talked about the tropical trees. So what would you like us to talk about next?
Talk about some native plants or?
Oh, I talk about summer annuals?
Of course you can.
Yeah, well, only because we've got to do preparation. When the spring flowers are finished, then apply cow manure and an all-purpose fertiliser ready for planting, but you need to leave those beds a week before you plant, Greg. Yep.
Okay.
And if they're grown in pots, just replace the old potty mix with a good quality potty mix and then start applying the flourished every week for flowering.
Right. So you've got the opportunity to dig the plant. That's a bit nervous sometimes, though. Well, when you take your plant out of the pot and you've got to put new soil in, I get a bit nervous. I think I'm going to ruin the tree. Or the plant.
No, not the little annuals. That's why you have the flowers I'm talking about, the seedlings. They're the little annuals in punnets. So that's why you have the flourish nearby. So when you plant them, you give them a quick water and then you flourish them and the flourish then settles them down and kicks their root system in, particularly if you've just plucked it out of the punnet and thrown it in the ground. This way, it does work.
I like to think I'm a little bit more gentle than that.
Well, I would like to think you are too, but tell me about the chilies. Have they had their treatment yet, that gentleman recommended?
No, I have fertiliser them.
Right.
So, but yeah, I guess I'll probably wait a couple of months. Hopefully they start flowering and getting some fruit out of them, hopefully.
Well, he recommended that you put them on blotting paper or something, didn't he? Well,
that was the seeds, yeah.
Oh, the seeds. Yep. So you did that and you got them to...
Well, I don't have any seeds at the moment, so when the next ones come out. Yeah.
If you're listening, please ring Greg next week again so you can solve his problems.
Judy Sharp, we've run out of time. Thank you very much. And we'll catch you again next Monday.
I hope so. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. Topics range from gardening to health, well-being, pet care, and travel. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.